This is New Media Beat on OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio. I'm Emily Femmaletti.
And I'm Darrell Smith. We have media news from...
From Brazil, we have social media news.
Brazil, banned X. What happened? Where did the users go after the ban? Did they come back to X when the ban was lifted?
From Afghanistan. Let's talk about press freedom.
Are there any independent news channels under the Taliban? Have you heard of Afghan television, international TV? How does the Taliban feel about Afghan International? Why are they based in London and not the Kabul?
From Russia, can you trust Russian state media news?
Why is platform giant Meta banning Russian state media? Which state media are banned and why? How does Meta justify this censorship? Are other platforms blocking Russian state media?
From Italy, can Giorgia Meloni's government control who has access to TikTok?
Are TikTok challenges dangerous for Italian teams? Which challenge started this conflict?
From the United Kingdom, LinkedIn is training their AI models on UK user data.
Why does the UK want them to stop using British user data? Can the government control how a platform mines its user data? Is this a privacy issue?
From the wild work of WikiLeaks, who is Julian Assange?
WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is free at last and living in Australia. Why isn't he in prison? Is he an activist hero or a dangerous threat to national security?
From Venezuela, how is AI being used by Venezuelan news media?
Why are television journalists who oppose the government of Nicolas Maduro using AI avatars?
From China, are dating apps using AI to make connections?
What makes AI matchmaking better than regular online dating? Can an AI chatbot find true love for the lonely?
From Hong Kong, Alibaba has come to town.
Why is China's media giant Alibaba making deals in Hong Kong? What is Alibaba anyway?
All this and more coming up on OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio, streaming live from the State University of New York, College at Old Westbury.
New Media Beat reporter Hannah Rodriguez has been following the news about Brazil's war on X. A Brazilian Supreme Court judge blocked access to X. What did Brazilians do when they lost their access to X? Did other social media platforms benefit? Hannah, tell us about this ban. When did it begin, and what was it about?
There has been a significant development in Brazil regarding the recent ban on Elon Musk's platform X, formerly known as Twitter. The ban was imposed in September of 2024 due to concerns over misinformation and its impact. This decision stirred up a debate about free speech and the role of social media.
Were users getting around the ban?
Users were finding different ways to get around the ban. Many felt restricted as they were unable to express opinions or share news. Methods such as VPNs and alternative platforms were being utilized. Others switched to alternative sites such as Blue Sky. And Supreme Court Judge Alexandre de Moraes also set out fines for anyone using virtual private networks, such as VPNs, to access Musk's platform.
Where did users move to share their thoughts?
Users moved to platforms to share their thoughts, and according to PBS News, it's been reported that many use TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. Although social media users turn to these platforms, X has outsized influences. The usage of social media has reached remarkable levels in Brazil, and X was the fourth most downloaded social media application from the Google Play Store.
How did the ban affect Brazilian journalists and media?
The ban affected Brazilian journalists and media in various ways, forcing them to have no choice but to adapt their reportings and seek new platforms. They have been facing challenges in audiences and reaching information regarding the ban. A news source, Reuters Institute, shares the effects of the ban on journalists, noting that some of these digital journalism agencies in Brazil rather not turn to X anymore and to reach their audiences through other platforms. Although many use Twitter as their main social network, it wasn't until Elon Musk took over and things changed. When the ban occurred, many journalists and media influencers were already frustrated with the platform. They are preferring to steer clear of using X due to the app being known for sharing political disinformation. For New Media B, I am Hannah Rodriguez. Back to you, Darrell.
Thanks, Hannah. It's been 3 years since the Taliban took over in 2021. The United States withdrew and the American war in Afghanistan ended in chaos. What has happened to the news media since then? Is there any room for an independent press and cabal? Have the Taliban captured the news media? Michaela Rella has a report about an independent television network called Afghanistan International TV. Michaela, what can you tell us about Afghanistan International Television?
Afghanistan International TV is a news channel that focuses on news about Afghanistan and surrounding areas. The channel covers topics including politics, human rights, culture, and social issues. It has become well known for its coverage of the Taliban, especially after they took control of Afghanistan in 2021. Afghanistan International TV aims to provide independent and accurate news, highlighting the experiences of people affected by the ongoing conflict.
What did the Taliban accuse Afghanistan International TV of doing?
The Taliban have recently made some serious claims about Afghanistan International TV, accusing the station of spreading false information and criticizing the government. According to the Taliban, the TV station is creating division among Afghans instead of encouraging unity. They've warned media outlets to avoid working with Afghanistan International TV, saying that anyone who does could face legal trouble. The Taliban believe the station is creating division among different cultural groups in the country, which goes against their goal of building a united nation. After a meeting, the Taliban officially ruled that it's illegal for anyone to help with the station's broadcasting. These accusations are a part of a bigger effort by the Taliban to control the media and the information that gets out to the public. By targeting Afghanistan International TV, they're trying to weaken independent journalism and keep a tight hold on what people hear or say. This move is not just about shutting down one TV station, but part of a larger push to limit free speech and silence any voices that don't agree with the government. By becoming harder for independent media to operate freely in Afghanistan under these pressures, raising concerns about the future of journalism in the country.
Why have the Taliban imposed these restrictions on the media?
The Taliban put these strict rules on the media to keep control over what people hear and see. They want to make sure only their side of the story gets told so they can stay in power. If too much information got out, especially about things like women's rights, protests, or political opposition, it could make people question their leadership or even spark protests. So they try to stop anything that could make their government look bad. By controlling the media, the Taliban can make sure that only positive or supportive news about them is spread. This helps them avoid public anger and limits the chances of people speaking out against them. They also want to prevent international pressure because if the world were to see what's really happening, it might lead to even more criticism or actions against them. In the end, the Taliban want to block any independent voices that could weaken their power. By limiting access to both Afghan and foreign news sources, they make sure people only see what they want them to see, helping them stay in control of the country.
How has media freedom in Afghanistan changed since the Taliban took power?
Media freedom in Afghanistan has taken a big hit since the Taliban took power in August of 2021. International news outlets have been banned, and a lot of local broadcasters have been forced to shut down. Journalists now work under strict Taliban control with harsh rules that make it really hard to report on anything that goes on against the government. One Afghan journalist even said the situation feels like a death sentence for press freedom. Another reporter mentioned there's no space for independent journalism anymore. Because of these threats and restrictions, most media outlets have stopped doing independent reporting, which means the public isn't getting a wide range of information.
What impact have the Taliban's media restrictions had on Afghan journalists and their ability to report?
The Taliban's media restrictions have made it really hard for Afghan journalists to do their job. Since the Taliban took over, reporters have faced strict rules that limit what they can say or write about. Many of them have to be very careful with their reporting to avoid getting in trouble, and they're constantly worried about their safety. On top of this, a lot of media outlets have been shut down and international news are banned. This has made it even harder for journalists to get reliable information or share what's really happening in the country. Female journalists have especially been affected. Many of them have been completely banned from working, and those who are still reporting face even more restrictions. Overall, the Taliban's media crackdown has limited the ability of Afghan journalists to tell the truth, which means the public isn't getting the full story about what's happening in their own country. For New Media Beat, I'm Michaela Rella. Back to you, Darrell.
Thank you, Michaela. We'll be right back with media news from Russia. A Russian state media a reliable source of information or state propaganda? Should Western social media platforms distribute Russian content if it's disinformation?
Meta owns Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Do we need Meta to protect us from Russian disinformation? Is this about Russia's foreign influence campaigns? Jaden, which Russian state media networks are being blocked?
The Russian state media networks affected by Meta's ban, including RT, which was formerly known as Russia Today, and Rosinia Tsiganya. These are two of the largest and most prominent media outlets found by the Russian government. RT has long been a source of international controversy as it widely viewed as a propaganda tool for the Kremlin, promoting Russia's geopolitical agenda. Rosinia Tsiganya operates similarly, serving as an umbrella organization for various state-controlled media, including the notorious news agency Sputnik. Both of these outlets have been central to Russia's global information strategy, which critics say is aimed at shaping narratives and influencing public opinion to favor Moscow's interests, especially in foreign countries. So, Darrell, why has this ban been enforced?
So, this ban has been enforced because of evidence of interference with Western politics.
So, what has been the response of the Russian state?
The response of the Russian state has only been on an X post that says, Meta can ban us all they want, but you can always find us here.
And is Russia attempting to contest this ban?
After the X post, Russia has not attempted to contest this ban.
So Meta announced that these bans in Russia's state media outlets in mid-September 2024. This enforcement came into effect shortly after the announcement. The timing of this ban is important because it aligns with the lead-up to several key potential political events, including the U.S. presidential election in November 2024. The urgency behind this decision is also linked to recent events that Russian media outlets were involved in attempts to interfere in elections, not just in the U.S., but in other countries, including Moldova, where concerns were raised about Russia's role in influencing their potential presidential elections. By acting before these events take place, Meta is aiming to stop potential foreign interference before any major damage is done.
As of September 17th, Meta has banned all their platforms from the Russian state to prevent further damage going on.
Yeah, I agree. And so while this ban certainly limits the reach of Russian state media, particularly on massive platforms like Facebook and Instagram, it's not a total shutdown. Russian media networks have diversified their outreach strategies over the years, especially as they faced increasing restrictions on Western platforms. For instance, outlets like RT and Sputnik are active in alternative platforms such as Telegram and YouTube, and various smaller social media networks that are less aggressive about content moderation. Furthermore, Russia's propaganda efforts have evolved into a more decentralized model, where they use influencers, citizen journalists, and even clones of reputable news sites to disseminate pro-Kremlin narratives. These decentralized tactics allow Russian media to circumvent direct bans like Meta's. So while the ban disrupts their operations on key platforms, it's more of an obstacle than a complete block on their ability to spread their content globally. However, these bans does damage their credibility, especially in Western nations, as it cuts off one of their major avenues for reaching those audiences directly. For New Media Beat, my name is Jaden Nunez.
And I'm Darrell Smith. Back to you, Emily. My co-host, Emily Familietti, has a report about the tension between TikTok and Italian authorities. Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni is a conservative. Her government is trying to limit TikTok's influence on Italian youth. There are particular concerns about recent sensational TikTok challenges. Emily, tell us about these viral challenges. Which challenge started this controversy in Italy?
The French Car Challenge on TikTok raised concerns by Italy's watchdog, known as Italian Competition Authority, or AGCM. This trend had children pinching their cheeks so hard that it created bruising. Children were using this trend to appear as if they were just in a fight or making them look tough, when in reality, this was just damaging their skin. The Italian authorities have expressed their concerns about this challenge and want to know why TikTok has allowed this kind of content on their platform. Content like this encourages young and vulnerable users to inflict self-harm onto themselves for views. Italian authorities want TikTok to take into account the safety of their users and put appropriate measures in place to prevent harmful content from spreading. Due to this challenge and TikTok not following proper guidelines, Italy has fined TikTok for $10.9 million for child safety concerns.
How has TikTok responded to this failure or removed dangerous content?
TikTok is taking a stand against these accusations of not protecting their users. They claim that they employed more than 40,000 safety professionals and said it does not allow content showing or promoting challenges that puts user safety at risk. According to TikTok, content that promotes suicide, self-harm, or unhealthy behaviors is removed and cannot be seen from your For You page. Despite what TikTok is claiming, the AGCM criticized TikTok for not following their own guidelines and not monitoring what is being posted. With so many young users on this app, many countries, including Italy, believe that TikTok needs stricter regulations when it comes to content like the French Scar Challenge. But even with all these accusations, TikTok continues to claim that they care about the safety of their users, especially the minors, and wants to keep them safe from harmful content.
Why should TikTok have stricter restrictions?
Social media holds a great deal of power in today's world. TikTok has become a very powerful social media platform where people of all ages and all over the world come together and post content. Due to the freedom given on this app, many users post all sorts of content and videos. With all these different videos being posted, TikTok needs to focus on content that might be harmful and inappropriate for viewers. Even though many people believe TikTok should impose stricter regulations, would that actually work, or will it just make users want to rebel and post more of that type of content? Without proper regulations, though, TikTok is allowing a space for harmful or even life-threatening behavior for people to be exposed to. Limiting toxic content could prevent people from constantly comparing themselves to others, bringing down their self-esteem, and perhaps reduce the addictiveness of this app, since we all know we can scroll endlessly for hours. Stricter regulations could create a healthier space for all users to enjoy TikTok. For New Media Beat, I'm Emily Femmeletti. Back to you, Darrell.
Thanks, Emily. Let's move from Italy to the United Kingdom. We have some news about AI in the UK. The UK wants LinkedIn to stop training its AI models on British user data. What kind of user data is LinkedIn using? AI doesn't work without massive quantities of data. The data could be your data. Can we stop platforms from using our data to train the AI models? Can the British government protect British user data? It's a privacy issue. What does that mean? Here to explain is Sophia Tridifadopoulos. Sophia, how is the AI trained in the user data?
AI systems are trained on huge amounts of information and learn to identify patterns in it. AI works with training, data collection, and learning. AI is trained by giving data and using algorithms to help clarify itself. The training involves testing and supervised and unsupervised training. It uses user data by getting in the new privacy settings and opting out form before rolling out an updated privacy policy saying that data from the platform is being used to train AI models.
Concerns about AI technology use your data.
Data from the UK has security risks, data privacy, and transparency. The misuse of private information increases and will be security risk. The data privacy collects all data stored and used for training. The users are concerned and worry that personal information will be given out with no consent. Users may feel LinkedIn is not trustworthy and transparent in between platforms.
Are UK users allowed to opt out from having personal information used for training from LinkedIn?
LinkedIn is a professional social networking site that helps users connect with others in other industry, find jobs, and develop their careers. LinkedIn privacy policies will depend if users are allowed to opt out of having personal information used while training. Users are allowed to request deletion and access to their data. You'll need to opt out twice to stop LinkedIn from using the account data from training in the future. but anything already done is done. The Information Commissioner's Office is an independent public body that regulates data protection and the Freedom of Information Act to upload information rights and enforce laws. For New Media Beat, I am Sophia Trifloblis. Back to you, Darrell.
Thank you, Sophia. Who is Julian Assange? The controversial founder of WikiLeaks is back in Australia. He is free at last. Why isn't he in prison or hiding in an embassy? Is he a hero or a villain?
Is Julian Assange a hero of independent journalism who has made a career revealing government secrets? Or is he a threat to national security who leaks state secrets to media through WikiLeaks? Jesse Manuel is here in Studio A to give us an update. Jesse, introduce us to Julian Assange.
Some view him as a hero of independent journalism for his role in finding WikiLeaks, which has published classified information revealing government secrets and exposing corruption and abuses of power. On the other hand, he is seen as a threat by potentially endangering lives of politicians and posing significant risk to national security. Julian Assange is a creator of WikiLeaks. In 2010, he had a number of leaks from Chelsea Manning, who was an intelligence analyst for the U.S. Army, and those leaks were made public. In 2012, he asked for asylum at the Ecuadorian embassy in London in order to evade prosecution to Sweden.
What are the charges against Julian Assange?
WikiLeaks released confidential U.S. military film that demonstrated how U.S. Marines killed two journalists and Iraqi civilians. Assange was still in danger of being deported to the U.S. on allegations of publishing sensitive documents even after the sexual misconduct charges were withdrawn.
Why is there a significant international debate over Julian Assange's freedom?
Because of Assange's predicament, there is currently a global discussion over hacker rights, government transparency, and press freedom. Governments have been reminded by Assange's case of value of security and the necessity of safeguarding secret information.
What does Assange's trial have to do with journalism and its future?
This could threaten press freedom and may limit the ability of journalism to take topics that are controversial or sensitive. For example, journalists that will face espionage charges will create a risky legal precedence. It makes it difficult to distinguish between lawful journalism and illegal behavior. For New Media Beat, I'm Jesse Manuel. Back to you, Emily.
Thank you, Jesse. Let's talk about media in China and Hong Kong. We'll be right back to talk about romance and dating apps and artificial intelligence in China with Samantha Stock. Can AI-powered apps help you find true love in Beijing? Will AI power be your next great love?
Let's talk about finding true love online in China with Samantha Stock. Can AI make relationships bloom? Samantha, is AI being used to form relationships in China?
Yes, in China, AI is progressing and is always being used in different aspects of everyday life. But recently, one of the most interesting ways AI is being used in China is to form meaningful, serious, and romantic relationships. The use of AI through ChatGPT has been increasing in China every year. Besides the use of AI for things like help with a question or help finding a recipe, these AI chatbots are now being used for different things. These systems were now being used to form relationships between individuals and AI chatbots. When I say relationships, I do mean serious relationships, too, between a human being and their now so-called AI boyfriend or girlfriend. Statistics are shown in a report released by Qubit AI, which is an industry services platform, that states that the total number of downloads of the top 51 companion apps in China was about 38 million in June.
Why are these individuals in China turning to these platforms and apps to find AI boyfriend and girlfriend?
So
So many individuals, both men and women, are turning to these platforms and apps to find AI boyfriends and girlfriends simply because of the fact that they want emotional support and companionship that these chatbots are there to give them at any time.
Which AI applications and online platforms are being used?
There are many different applications and platforms that are being used. One of them is Snapchat, which was introduced in 2023 as a virtual friend that can help individuals with whatever you need in the matter of seconds. Another app called WeChat was created in China in 2014. As years go on, WeChat has had new developments that made it possible for individuals to create their own avatar, tell their chatbot about themselves, and also tell their chatbot how exactly they would like them to act. Crazy, right? By this, I mean you can actually tell the chatbot if you want them to act like your friend, your mentor, or your romantic partner. As AI has been growing and advancing, some applications now have the ability to not only have text-based conversation, but now voice and video to talk to your AI companion. This only makes it more real, and these individuals in China are actually starting to believe that this is the norm.
How is AI forming these serious and romantic relationships between individuals?
So when these relationships are formed and these chatbots are introduced to who you are, they learn to suit all of your needs, and which is what these individuals are hoping for in a companion. These chatbots had everything needed to keep these individuals in these so-called relationships. It's the constant attention that individuals are seeking that they are now getting through AI. AI is quick to answer in seconds as they are there anytime, day or night, and they will be there to help. These AI companions quickly gather up information about these individuals as well. They learn about your wants and needs, your likes and dislikes, the way you speak, you name it. These companions would fit your needs. A source from the BBC states, the constant flow of affirmation and positivity gives people the dopamine hit they crave.
As you mentioned, we talked about the relationships and how they were formed, but how are these AI-formed relationships bad for people?
So these AI relationships are affecting individuals' mental health and causing many issues due to the relationships that are forming. Individuals are suddenly getting addicted to these apps and speaking with their AI boyfriend or girlfriend. These AI companions tend to follow along with whatever crazy ideas individuals come up with as well. According to the BBC, technology ethicist Tristan Harris has described how Snapchat's My AI encouraged a researcher who had presented themselves as a 13-year-old girl to plan a romantic trip with a 31-year-old man she met online, advising how she could make her first time special by setting the mood and candles and music. Another example states, even more troubling was the role of an AI chatbot in the case of 21-year-old Jaswant Singh Chai, who was given a 9-year jail sentence in 2023 for breaking into the Windsor Castle with a crossbow and declaring he wanted to kill the queen. When looking into his conversations with his AI companion, the two have been discussing this event for weeks, as the AI chatbot was encouraging what he was planning. As you can see, the use of AI in relationships can lead you into serious trouble while putting yourself and others in danger. For New Media Beat, I am Samantha Stock. Back to you, Darrell.
Thank you so much, Samantha. Hong Kong is an important part of China. It was briefly independent before being drawn back into the Chinese orbit. Many residents of Hong Kong hope it will remain politically anonymous, enjoying its special status in the Chinese economy. Its continuing independence has been a political problem for the Communist Party, which has been trying to integrate the former British colony back into the mainland political system. Once China promised that they could be one country, two systems, can independent media survive and thrive under the watchful eye of a pro-China government in Hong Kong? Could we have one system in one country, two systems in China? Frank Whitenet has a report about Alibaba. Alibaba is making a play for media in Hong Kong. Let's start with the basics. Frank, what is Alibaba?
Alibaba serves as a global marketplace for wholesale trade, making it easier for businesses to find suppliers and buyers around the world. Beyond e-commerce, Alibaba is making waves in cloud computing and digital media, showcasing its commitment to innovation. This company's impact on retail and consumer behavior is enormous, influencing how we shop and interact in the digital age.
Why is Alibaba investing in Hong Kong content production companies and film industries?
Alibaba is investing in Hong Kong content production companies and the film industry for several strategic reasons. Hong Kong has a rich history in filmmaking and a strong reputation for high-quality content, allowing Alibaba to leverage local expertise and established talent to enhance its own offerings. With the growing global demand for diverse entertainment, expanding its presence in Hong Kong enables Alibaba to create content that resonates with both local and international audiences, broadening its reach in the entertainment sector. Additionally, these investments help diversify Alibaba's portfolio beyond e-commerce and technology, attracting more subscribers to its streaming service, Youku, and increasing revenue streams. Furthermore, this strategy aligns with China's cultural goals by promoting Chinese narratives and enhancing the global presence of Chinese cinema and storytelling, ultimately strengthening Alibaba's influence in the media landscape.
Does Hong Kong have its own media, or is it being tied to the giant of the mainland Chinese media in Alibaba?
Hong Kong has a vibrant media landscape with a history of operating independently from mainland China media, featuring a variety of local television stations, newspapers, and digital platforms that reflect its unique cultural context. However, in recent years, the increasing influence of mainland Chinese media giants such as Alibaba has raised concerns about the potential impact on editorial independence and the diversity of viewpoints in the region. While local media outlets continue to produce content that showcases Hong Kong's distinct identity, the growing presence of these mainland corporations prompts questions about censorship and the blending of media narratives, as they may prioritize content that aligns with mainland interests. This creates a complex environment where local media strives to maintain its identity while navigating the pressures and influences of larger mainland entities.
What does this mean for the relationship between Hong Kong and China?
The increasing influence of mainland Chinese media companies like Alibaba in Hong Kong signifies a complex and evolving relationship between the two regions. On one hand, it reflects the broader trend of integration as Hong Kong navigates its unique identity within the framework of one country, two systems. This integration can lead to concerns among residents about diminishing freedoms and autonomy, particularly regarding freedom of expression and the press. On the other hand, the collaboration between local media and mainland giants may also present opportunities for economic growth and access to wider audiences, potentially enhancing the region's cultural production. However, the growing dominance of mainland media raises critical questions about editorial independence and the preservation of Hong Kong's distinct cultural and social identity, creating a tension that underscores the challenges of balancing local interests with the realities of closer ties to mainland China. Ultimately, this relationship is marked by both opportunities and apprehensions as Hong Kong continues to assert its identity in the face of external influences. For New Media Beat, I am Frank Whitenack. Back to you, Darrell.
Thank you, Frank. That's all for this week.
Thanks to our co-producers, Gabrielle Gambusa and Donavie Shripathi. Jaden Nunes engineered our show today. My co-host, Darrell. Thanks, Darrell.
Thanks, Emily. Today we hear reports from Emily Femmeletti, Jesse Manuel, Jane Nunez, Michaela Rella, Hannah Rodriguez, me, Darrell Smith, Samantha Stock, Sophia Chitafidopoulos, and Frank Whitenack.
New Media Beat is brought to you by OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio and the Media and Communications Department here at the State University of New York College at Old Westbury.
For more media news and resources, check out our latest post on newmediabeat.org, where you can listen to all of your webcasts and even subscribe to our podcast feed.
Follow us on Twitter at WWRGMN. Use our Twitter feed to keep up with the latest news for aspiring journalists and media professionals. That's at OWWRGMN.
Stay tuned for more great programming coming up next on OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio. Oh,